Hey everybody, welcome, hi, hello, how are you? Welcome to Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. So good to see you. You look great as usual. A lot of things we gotta talk about today. One of the big things being that it's Great War Day. Happy Nuclear Holocaust Day. Happy Total Nuclear Annihilation. Yay! Hooray! We did it again! October 23rd. This is not going to be posted on October 23rd. It's going to be posted sometime afterward. But I'm recording it on Great War Day. So we're going to talk about the first ever Fallout Day. We've changed names. Back in the day, when I was of the community, it was Great War Day, and then for some reason it became Bombs Drop Day, and now we finally come to just Fallout Day, a day to celebrate all things Fallout. So we're going to talk, it's probably already behind me, the live stream that they did to announce a bunch of new Fallout stuff. We're going to talk about that. It's probably already behind me. Like I said, thank you for being here. I'm your host, Vince. This is episode 325. Before we even get into it, this episode is brought to you by the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon link in the thing for that, if you like the program. Also, Marcus is here tonight. I have to thank Marcus. Hello, sir. How are you? Thank you for being here. Appreciate your patronage. Let's talk about this stream. Now, the intro to the stream was... I'm good, thank you. Thank you for asking. You know, I've been going through a lot lately. Fun stuff, new stuff, good stuff, bad stuff, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. But, you know, I really thank you. But we got to talk about the stream. Let's talk about the stream. This stream had a really, really great introduction. Like a fantastic introduction. Like the waiting screen that was the loading screen that was showing clips of other Fallout stuff. I couldn't tell if all of it was new. I couldn't tell if all of it was old. The way it remixed, there was even one point about 5 minutes before it started where the Fallout 3 music kicked in. And then since I was at work when it started, something happened and I put the stream off. I said, oh, I'll just watch it when it's over. It's, you know, it's YouTube. It'll save it as a VOD. I'll just watch the VOD and then, you know, it's, I'm done. I'm square. I'm good. I'm ready to rock. And, turns out that if you do that, there's a new feature on YouTube that'll like summarize the comments for you. I'm guessing through AI. So I get this little like AI powered garbage thing that just shows up, right? And it says, chat summary, auto-generated experiment, quality may vary. Viewers are reacting to Bethesda's showcase. Some are excited, while others are disappointed. There are mentions of Fallout 3, Fallout 5, and the disappointment with Fallout 76. And I read that and I was just like, that just gave away every bit. It gave away like every little bit of excitement. Like, oh, they mentioned 3, they mentioned 5. As far as I'm concerned, they didn't mention 5 whatsoever. Bethesda didn't. I don't know if chat was talking about Fallout 5 at all. Also, look into the term chat, because it's becoming a thing that people are using more and more. And if I remember correctly, it's slowly being considered like the first second person pronoun. So like I being first person and them or he or she or they being third person, chat has become a second. Look it up. It's really interesting shit. I saw really quick. Anyway, I knew going into it is going to be predominantly 76, right? So I'm watching it and it's cool. It's not for me. I'm going to play 76 because they did talk a lot about the ghoul stuff. I have some questions about it canonically, but they show you like, here's this new level 300. That's the way they made it sound. Level 300 plus raid. And that's a great idea. The game's been around for 6 years. People are level 1000, 1100, 1200. Like there's just crazy numbers on this game, right? Thank God that this is going to be a thing. But the raid has like a final level in it that you fight this big snake thing. And it was just like, I'm watching it going, why? Like, this doesn't feel like Fallout to me. Like, you fight an Enclave soldier. And whenever I see an Enclave soldier that's bigger than any other character in power armor, my first thought is, are you trying to do Horrigan? Are you trying to stomp on that? Like, what's the deal here? Because Frank Horrigan is the strongest canonically, like, the strongest being to ever exist in Fallout is Frank Horrigan. So what exactly is happening, like, with this guy? But also, at the end of the raid, you fight this big snake, right? And I get that the radiation made all the creatures grow bigger and what have you. Like, that makes a little bit of sense. Like, when you see the big sloth or, you know, even the big hermit crabs. I'll give you the big hermit crabs because it's a really cool idea. But it's one of those, like, if I'm fighting a Godzilla-sized snake, that doesn't feel very Fallout to me. Now, maybe there'll be some sort of explanation. Maybe there'll be something there. They showed a lot of other cool stuff. Like, you know, you could have camp pets. You could have a super mutant as a pet, which opens a bunch of ethical questions for me because super mutants are originally human. So there is human DNA in there. So what is a pet versus a roommate versus a slave? You know, the fact that I can have a cat or a dog is neat. I actually like that a lot. I miss my cat back home, and I wish I could just have, like, a little prop cat that I can kind of put somewhere and be like, hey, Piggy, you know, check for, like, episode 100 if you want to see Pig. I brought him on camera for, like, a brief second. You know, there's a bunch of other fun stuff that makes 76 look like a really, really good time. Like, they talk about ghoulification. I want to play 76 because once you hit level 50, you have the option to become a ghoul, and I just want to be Ron Ghoulman, attorney at law, in Fallout. Like, I want to be able to do my character that I've been playing in D&D. I play him in fantasy D&D, like 5th edition, not even in Fallout stuff. That character is essentially become my Jay and Silent Bob, where they just kind of go from thing to thing. You know, Ghoulman Entertainment is my Patreon. Ron Ghoulman is a key figure in Fallout for me. Like, I know it's fanon, I know it's fanfic, it's not real, but it means a lot. He means a lot to me. He's a character that I really developed and really thought about, and I've seen his character change as I've changed because my views have become different. And I want to be able to play that character in game, and I'm excited for it. But the thing that scares me is, like, if you go ghoul, there's a way to revert it back so you're not a ghoul anymore. And that scares me because does that mean it's now canon that you're just not a ghoul anymore? That there's, like, a way to unghoulify yourself, which I feel like kind of defeats the fun of a ghoul. Like, again, this is speculative. I don't know what's actually going to happen, but I don't want there to just be, oh, welcome to Fallout 5. We know how to unghoul yourself because of this game that happens 25 years before or after the bombs and 200 years, 100 and change years, 60-something years, depending on the game before the other ones. You know, where does that put ghoulification? Now, I understand that they have to do that probably just so people aren't locked out of their characters. They can try a ghoul. It takes a lot to get to level 50. I'm just afraid that they're going to have something that makes it where, oh, this is going forward the canon way that any ghoul could just unghoulify. You know, it's small things like that. There was another thing that they said, that if you're a ghoul, you don't have to worry about eating or drinking. And I immediately went, oh no, they're going to make the kid in the fridge real and negate the quest from Fallout 1, where if you turn off the water supply and take the chip out of Necropolis, then you kill the ghouls there. But they said they've replaced it with a feral meter, which makes sense to me, because it would make sense that people would have to fight off the feralness. Maybe there's a chem or something, because that what it seems like it's going to be in the show. Which, by the way, was announced that it's going to start filming this November. So, like, after this episode comes out, they should start filming sometime soon. But it just seems like that would make the most sense to have something that makes you, like, take into consideration how feral you're going to go, how it's going to affect you, what is going to happen. That makes sense to me. I think getting rid of the need to eat and drink is a little short-sighted. Maybe not that you have to eat and drink the same amount as a human, but your metabolism goes longer, something like that, right? And then they brought in the perks. Like, every time you get into combat, you heal, which is super dope. I don't know what a bloodied character is exactly, but you can't play a bloodied ghoul for right now. But they also announced 4-star legendaries, so it's only a matter of time before I can be a bloodied ghoul with a 6-star assault rifle or something. Marcus and Chaz says, I kind of like the idea that the cure to ghoulification is real, but stuck in West Virginia and no one wants to get it. Yeah, I like the idea of that, like, especially if we find out, oh, if we could only cure this thing, and then it's like, oh, we know, like, it's the Kubrick did it when it came, not Kubrick, Hitchcock. Hitchcock was like, show a gun, use a gun. It becomes more suspenseful if you realize that they're having a conversation in a room, having tea in a room next to the bomb, even though they don't know the bomb is there. You know, it adds that little extra bit of suspense of like, we need to find a way to cure this. And then they you know, as the watcher, as the reader, as the player, that there is a cure for ghoulification. I do like the idea of that. I just don't want it to be that the next Fallout game I get, there are no ghouls because like, oh, we found this cure. I don't know. That's just me though. Other than that, they showed off a lot of cool stuff. Like I said, they showed off the ghoulification. They didn't talk about a remake, remaster, nothing. Which, by the way, I just don't think we're going to be getting anytime soon. Maybe next year, because we did have that thing, that leak that said this is their plans for a Fallout 3 remake, remaster. Who knows? At this point, who cares? We have them as backwards compatibility games. They exist. They're on PC. I, more than anybody else that you know, wants to see a Fallout 3 remake, remaster. And I just don't know if it's ever going to happen. And I just slowly have to come to terms with it. Hopefully, as soon as I come to terms with it, they announce one. But, you know, it's the ancient story of the Buddha that he sat under the tree. I'm probably, like, fusing several stories together. But he said, you know what? I don't even want to be enlightened anymore. And as soon as he gave up the want to be enlightened, he was enlightened. You have to give up the want for everything before you can reach true enlightenment. Philosophy for a video game. Anyway, it was neat. The skits that they did, they were fun. They reminded me very much of like 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, when video games were still fun and creative. It seems like something a studio would have put together where they dressed somebody up and talked to them and interviewed them and said, like, this is what it's like to work with a person who is like this. It was fun. It was fun. It was a good showcase. It was a good little stream. I wish they would have done more. I wish they would have talked about the show a little bit, but we are where we are. It is a Fallout 76-centric world. And I'm going to play it next year. Hopefully, I'll find some time. Now, before we can get into this week's lore, I have to thank the Patreon. Because of you guys, the show continues to grow and get bigger and better. And I recently just paid the podcast subscription fee, which pretty much means you guys can get the show on every single podcasting app. And that was funded entirely by the Patreon. So if you like the show, consider checking out the link in the description below to that. Why don't you subscribe while you're here? Leave a like too. Because of you guys, the show continues to go on. So I have to thank some people starting from the top. I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you, Marcus, who is also here tonight. Thank you for being here, sir. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. After Captain Lennox, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Brotherhood Outcast. Thank you, Brotherhood Outcast. Because of these names that are on screen currently, the show continues to grow and get better. Check it out. $1 tier, $10 tier, up to you. You don't even have to give anything. You can just listen to the show and share it with your friends. But these people on screen right now, I have to give an extra special thank you to. Thank you. I love you. So for this week's lore, I wanted to do something a little different. I didn't want to talk about one entity. I didn't want to talk about one person, one quest. It's also Great War Day when I record this, so I wanted to be a tad thematic. And one of the things that I wanted to do, one of the things I was thinking of is what fleshes out Fallout more? You know, what fleshes out the world more than anything else does? You know, it's the locations, it's the people, it's the interactions we have. But the way that we interact with ourselves and with the world and with our friends and with our family and with our community ultimately comes down to two things. Our choice of entertainment and our foods, be they cultural, be they religious, whatever. So I went to the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon and I asked the weekly poll whether you'd want to hear about pre-war food companies or food in general, I guess, or pre-war entertainment. So if you would like to hear any lore from the Fallout series, and I mean any lore whatsoever, check out the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, link in the description below. From the $1 tier to the $10 tier, your voice is heard every single week when I ask a poll, and one of those questions is picked by you in the Patreon. And this week's lore, by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, I bring you the lore on the entertainment from the pre-war Fallout universe. Now, I have 8 different companies, locations, entertainment things that we're going to talk about. I wanted to make it more broad, but I felt like I was incorporating too many things from other branches. Since it's entertainment, I could have gone down music, but I feel like music is its own thing. I also could have done casinos and, you know, slot machines. I had a couple things written down, but it mostly came down to entertainment. And entertainment is inherently political because you're trying to get a message across. So even something as dumb as the Teletubbies is political because you're trying to teach children. So you're trying to teach kids, and I'm not saying politics has to be like, oh, hey, I believe this person should be doing X or Y, or these are the rules of our community. It's just teaching somebody to do something in of itself is a political act, right? So the way we interact with, so perfect example, one of my favorite film franchises ever is Godzilla, right? I love the Big Lizard. Those movies, the first, like, 3 of them, maybe the first, like, 2 of them are about what happens when man plays God and not to test nature and this and that and what have you. And then by the time you get to the end of the 60s, it is just giant monsters beating the shit out of each other. And every now and again, there's a political message. Everything that we consume in of itself has a political meaning behind it. Sometimes the political meaning can be just the just enjoying something, just that act of freedom. Maybe it's an act of rebellion to enjoy something, but it's just you doing something of your own accord. Now, like I said, I have about 8 things we're going to go over, and the first one being Broadway. And yes, Broadway can be assumed that it's real, the location in New York, the plays that are put on there, but also most real life entertainment companies probably have some sort of analog, especially if they're made pre-1970. There's two that I can think of immediately from the notes here that are real-life analogs. And I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukapedia, if you will. And the first one we're going to talk about is the Broadway cinema that's in Fallout 3. It's between 4th and 5th Street in Seward Square. It's a theater. It's a movie theater. It's a fun, old-timey movie theater, much like you would imagine it to look like, with a marquee outside. And the last movies to be shown there is, there was 4 of them. The first one is One Wife Holds the Meatballs, Roz, Bastion, and the Amazons of Zarn, I Married a Maoist, and Hush, Sweet Senator, Hush. You know, one of those is essentially a pre-war Marvel movie. Raz, Bastion, and the Amazons of Zarn sounds like some cape stuff, even if it is more like a Conan-type thing. One Wife Holds the Meatballs is probably a comedy. I Married a Maoist is political. It sounds like it would be just propaganda. And Hush, Sweet Senator Hush could be a documentary, who knows? But these are the things people were watching in DC before DC became the capital wasteland, before the president was John Henry Eden. After that, we have California Crest Studios, which is one of the newest additions, and that's because this is from the Fallout Amazon Prime series. This is a studio that Cooper Howard has worked with. This is where he made The Man from Dead Horse. It's located in Hollywood and is not far from the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Cooper Howard worked there along with Emil Dale, who was a director. George, his friend, the one he meets before he goes to the cemetery for the meetings that he would later get radicalized with. His friend George. And there's also Cadillac Bob, who was fired for being a commie sympathizer. And he is a former writer, of California Crest. They were working on a sequel to The Man from Dead Horse that was going to start filming sometime in 2077, and a deal for 17 movies to be made about Nuka-Cola starring Cappy and Bottle were about to happen. I love satire. You know, 17 movies, so you know that there's no real stakes. Maybe in the 17th one, but who's going to watch 17 movies about the same two characters? Oh, did you guys hear a new Marvel Avengers is coming out? And now let's take it from California over to Reno, or New Reno, the world's biggest little city. There is a place called the Cat's Paw. Pre-war, it was a photography studio for Cat's Paw magazine, which I'm assuming is pornography. I'm assuming it's some sort of smut. And the Cat's Paw magazines appear in Fallout 2, Fallout itself, and Tactics. In 2, you can find the special edition Cat's Paw issue number 5. Post-war, it's become a brothel. They talk about it. There's a woman who runs it whose name is Miss Kitty. It's actually located on Virgin Street. But it's one of those things that Fallout does the best where it tells you just enough. It lets you infer what needs to be inferred. You can figure out what you need to figure out because the world allows you to use your brain a little bit. You can also find out about Imperial Records from Dean Domino in the Dead Money DLC for Fallout New Vegas. It's only ever mentioned here. It's a record label that actually has a real-life counterpart. It's a real-life record label started in 1947 by Lew Chudd, L-E-W-C-H-U-D-D, known for rhythm and blues and country music. Some of their biggest names were Fats Domino, Frankie Ford, Ricky Nelson, and Slim Whitman. It's a real-life record label that started in 1947, like I said, and if you speak to Dean Domino, he's the person who brings it up. Dean Domino was also inspired heavily by Fats Domino, and he says, look, you could offer me a steel-clad contract for a world tour of all major cities with Imperial Records, and I still wouldn't stay here, in reference to Puesta del Sol, to the villa inside of the Madre. There's also Mirage Pictures, and we don't know much about Mirage Pictures, but it is again from the Fallout Amazon Prime series, and it is the studio that made A Man and His Dog, which is a reference to the book by Harlan Ellison, and the film adaptation by Harlan Ellison and L.Q. Jones, a movie that I love dearly. It is a fun flick, it is very much of its time, and it's written by one of the best sci-fi writers ever. It's not known what else was made with that studio, but it's assumed that Cooper Howard would have worked with them for more than just that. Let's take it back real quick. Let's go all the way back to New Vegas, right? We gotta talk about the Sanders brothers. All we know for certain is it was a magician act by one of the Sanders brothers playing the role of Ali Din. A-L-I-D-I-N, Ali Din. They had signed a contract with Frederick Sinclair to perform at the Sierra Madre Casino. It was a dinner show, so it was dinner and a show. The posters show up in New Vegas' loading screens as well as posters in the DLC Dead Money. And again, not much is known other than that, and it is another time where your brain can kind of just infer what it needs to infer. There's also the Starlight Theaters / Cinemas, a chain of movie theaters hosting propaganda for Vault-Tec, Nuka-Cola, Nuka World Attractions, ArcJet Systems, Robco, and probably a bunch of other companies that just wanted you to give them their money so they could further perpetrate genocide. One of the known movies that was actually produced by Starlight was known as The Barfly. It was a Mark Fitz and Starlight Cinemas movie. It starred Chad Weathers as The Barfly, Howell Funt, which is a great name, F-U-N-T, Howell Funt as Doc, and Rita Jean Scarlet as Hazel. It's got a fun poster. It's probably behind me right now. And lastly, we have the Warren Theater in Boston. Let's take it all the way back to the east on our way out of here. In Boston's Back Bay neighborhood, south of the Combat Zone, is the Warren Theater. It's an unmarked location that shows up in Fallout 4, and only Fallout 4. It's based on a real-life one-screen, 1,328-seat theater in Boston. It was the first black-owned cinema in Boston and was opened in 1969. And the pictures that I saw of it online opened like it was Hollywood. Like, it opened like it was Manhattan in the 30s. Like, it opened like it had real stakes. It was quite a sight to behold, especially from the picture that I saw. It was class. It was just a class act. The first film to ever be shown there was called Uptight. It's now the Church of God of Prophecy Incorporated. I don't know if, like, OF Prophecy Incorporated is, like, the name of the company, or if that's, like, the full name of it. It is 0.58 acres of land, and it's being sold currently for $3.8 million. So if you've ever wanted to own a movie theater in the heart of Boston that's not even an acre of land for $3.8 million, go right ahead. On Instagram is actually where I get all of my Fallout lore, on fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. I play these games. I love these games. I use that as a reference point. When I found a post about this, because I typed in the theater and the address, and it gave me an Instagram post where I found out about when it was open and everything and how it was the first black-owned theater in Boston, there was just a person commenting saying that it had gone to shit, that the roof had caved in, and that they stopped caring about it years ago. And then I found that listing for $3.8 million. So I'm not quite sure where it stands, but hey, look, location, location, location. If you're in the market, who knows? So that's this week's lore on the entertainment from the Fallout series. It's different from what I usually do for the lore, but it was kind of just a spur-of-the-moment idea. If you like that format, if you want to hear about music or food or retail from the world, let me know. Leave a comment below, because I like doing that. I like giving you kind of a quick overview of, like, hey, this exists, this happened, and here's kind of a bigger picture of what the world looks like, because that's what makes these games so special, is the world. The world itself makes it feel livable, breathable. It makes it feel like the real deal. It makes it feel special. And that's what I like about it, is, hey, here's 15. Today was 8. Next time it could be more. Here's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 things real quick that we can talk about that maybe will say, hey, next time I'm playing Fallout 4, I'm going to go look for that thing, because I want to see what makes it special. You know what? I'm going to replay the old Fallout games from the 90s. Let me see what the cat's paw is about in-game, more in-depth, and not so much pre-war. You know, and now you have this basis. If you like that, please let me know in the comments below, because that is this week's lore. Hey, gang. Hey guys, it's me. Welcome to the third segment. How are you? I just want to give you this quick update. I don't have a ton to talk about. There's been a few things. I'll talk about some personal stuff, but I want to give you this quick update. The next, what I presume to be about a month, you probably won't see me again until Thanksgiving, like 2 days after American Thanksgiving. I have something planned that's rather important. I am missing out on the Fallout meetup in DC, which was actually really cool. I'm sorry, not DC, in Vegas, in Good Springs. It was actually really cool to hear about on that stream today that they brought it up. They're like, the unofficial Fallout meetup. It's cool because I know TKS Mantis is the guy who, like, started the first one. At least I believe he's the guy who, like, started the first one. And then 2 years ago, Ken from Chad had set up the one that was in Boston, Good Springs, and DC, and I feel like there was one other place, and West Virginia. So it's cool that it's getting recognition, especially officially from Fallout. And then also, that stream was followed by Fallout 4 Hope. And if I remember correctly, I think they raised over $13,000 for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. All of that's a super digression. Good that they raised all the money. I'm very happy to be part of a community. Actually, I don't know if I ever showed this off, but I have this magnet. That's like a really strong magnet from 2 years ago, from when I went to that DC one that they were giving out to people. It's a pin. It's a magnetic pin for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. God, I hate having my fingers photographed. I keep that on my shelf. I never really even show that off, but I keep that on my shelf because it's important to me, because, you know, you got to do it for the kids, man. But you will not see me live. There will not be a live episode. You will not. The episodes should be coming out. I should have at least 3 out of 4 episodes good to go. I have to edit a lot of it this weekend. I did have the problem with my computer. One of those episodes was I believe the 300th episode, if not the 300, excuse me, it wasn't the 300th episode. It was the 6-year anniversary episode, which is a few episodes after that, after 300, if I do remember correctly. If you look at the official count of episodes, I skipped the one because I was like, it'll come out. So I have to edit that full episode. Then I have three other things. I don't know how long they're going to be. They should be shorter, but there's going to be something here while I'm away. This is something that I've been planning pretty much since I'm about 7 or 8 years old, more or less. And I can't wait to tell you more about it when I get back. And it's going to be very special for me. And thank you for being patient with me while I go and do a thing that I feel like is my own fucking destiny that I have to go fulfill. But listen to me getting all serious and whatnot. I went to the comic book store the other day. I really want to read Spider-Man. I really want to read Batman. I'm really on a kick right now. This is a weird segue out of that into something less serious. I really want to read these books. They're modern contemporary pieces of art. You know, I bought a Godzilla comic and I bought a Spider-Man comic, and those two books were $10 for 60 something pages. And I sat there and I was like, God damn, that's so much money. But at the same time, it's modern literature. It's contemporary literature. It's modern art, contemporary art. I'm supporting Disney by giving them my money, $5 a book, but I'm also like supporting these people that are drawing for a living, that it's like, keep making these books because I want to read them. One of the few things, maybe that's, I could be wrong. I was having this conversation at work. It was like, what are the things that are truly American? And one of them was jazz music. I can't remember what the other ones were. I think it was jazz music and school shootings. And then there was a third thing that I don't remember. And it might be comic books. But we were having this conversation, and I think comic books might be, and I'm probably wrong when I say this, comic books probably are not American. There is probably like a small Danish city that was like the first place to have serialized. Well, no, because I wonder if Japan did it first, because Japan was having rap battles in like the 13th century. I don't know. It just feels like Americana. To me, comic books feel like Americana. The same way hamburgers feel like Americana, but we stole those from the Germans. So who knows? But I want to read these things because they're even, we spoke about Harlan Ellison in the lore segment. Harlan Ellison spoke about comic books the same way you would speak about Shakespeare. He said, these are great stories. These are great magazines that come out 2 times a month or 1 time a month. And you are getting a story for a couple of dollars and you're entertained and you're engrossed and you believe in it. I've been on a real Batman kick lately. Actually, Kyle had bought me for Christmas one year, The Last Night on Earth, the Batman story. It's a few issues. I think it might be like an 8-comic run. I could be wrong. And I never got around to reading it. Well, excuse me, I did get around to reading it. I read it like 3/4 of the way through and then I stopped, which is something that I do with trade paperbacks or graphic novels, whatever you want to call them. Because I did that, I've done that with Watchmen like 3 times. I know how Watchmen ends, but I've never finished it. So maybe this is the time I finish it. Anyway, read, go out and read. And even if you're not going to go out and like, if you're going to go out and read comic books, go to a local comic book store. Go to something that's mom and pop run. There's like 3 of them in my neck of the woods, and I found one that's really close to me. It's right next to some stuff that I actually go to frequently, so I don't know why I wasn't going there more often. Go somewhere, buy a comic book, even if you buy just because you like the cover. I'm a big Godzilla guy, as you may or may not know, and my big thing is the suit. I like the new stuff that's CG, the American stuff, the Japanese stuff, it's fine, but I prefer a suit. And I was like, I don't really want to read Godzilla comics because it's not a suit. And then I'm sitting there and I'm looking at all the pages of the books that I'm not going to buy that are Godzilla comics. And I'm just like, yeah, this rips. I want this. And I'm giving money to these giant entities that, you know, is morally questionable because they're giant entities, but I'm also giving money to a local comic book store, and I'll foster community there with the people. Just because I signed up and said I want a subscription list that all I want to read is Batman, Spider-Man, Godzilla, and the Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong, which they just ended one run and they're going to do a second run of like more stories. Like, because I want to read that stuff, I'm going to get a 10% discount. And what's 10% of $5? But still, it's an incentive for me to go there. It's an incentive for me. I'm really looking for a comic book called Barkley versus Godzilla, where Charles Barkley and Godzilla have a basketball face-off. And one of the greatest comic panels ever is Godzilla doing a layup after Charles Barkley tells him he's got to work on his skills, and it just says Godzilla got busy. It's so tight. It's the coolest shit like I've ever seen. But anyway, who knows, man? You might meet somebody that you're really keen on at the comic book store. And the one I go to also hosts Magic the Gathering events and D&D stuff. So who knows, man? Who knows? Get out there. I love you. I appreciate you. The intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers. It's called Feather Duster. You can get all of his free music at silvermansounds.com/free music. I'd like to give a quick shout out to the Patreon, the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. Thank you to Marcus for being here tonight for the live studio audience recording. It's going to be a while till I see you guys live and in the flesh again. I thank you. I love you. I appreciate you. Be safe. Say no to drugs. Link in the description of my Twitter, the show's Twitter, Kyle's Twitter, also the red bubbles down there. I love you guys very, very much, and I'll be seeing you in a little bit. But I promise you, I'll be back. And when I come back, I should have tales to tell of my adventures and what have you. All right, I love you. I'll see you next week, but you'll see me. It's a thing. I love you. Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment production.